In a world where high school sports don't exist. Wait, no. We don't like that world. Different world, please. Ah, that's better. The Central Valley Sports Report starts now.
Good morning, everybody, and welcome to the Central Valley Sports Report. I am your host, Paul Metters, here at First String Sports. You guys like rain, huh? You like flooding? You like all that stuff from a week ago? Well, it's back. It's back today. Rain all day. Tomorrow, it's weird, right? You look at your phone and you check the weather app or whatever you check the news or your computer, and rain all day today. And I walked out this morning, and sure enough, I have to park my car on the side of the street. Got like four cars at my house right now, but I got to jump over puddles. I got to jump over the little flood that has made its way to our curbside. So, yeah, raining all day tomorrow. Tomorrow, no rain, it says, and then back on Monday. So, yeah, ready or not, it's here. So, rain all day. But I hope you guys are having a good week. So, you know, a lot of us that are in education or obviously follow high school sports, you know, we have an internal clock. And last week was our first week back to school. So it was a little bit tough, man. It was a little bit tough on me. I'm a teacher. I've been teaching for 26 years. And it was tough for me to get back on schedule and wake up at a decent hour, go to bed at a decent hour, hopefully. So hopefully all you guys out there are well-rested from Christmas break and are back into the routine. So for the next 2 hours, we're going to be talking about high school sports here on 1430 ESPN. This is definitely the place to be. I'm talking about First String Sports. Walk into First String Sports on Blackstone Avenue in between Sierra and Herndon. And I do my show in a Letterman's Jacket room. And I love this place. I wouldn't have my show any other way because everything is high school related here. I'm looking at patches from Yosemite High School, Buchanan, Kingsburg, Clovis West. To my left, Letterman's Jackets. Clovis West, again, San Joaquin Memorial, Garza High School, Fresno Christian, Central Valley Christian. Yeah, South Valley. Come on down here. First String Sports, the only place to get your Letterman's Jacket. So what's on the docket today? Well, Gabe Camarillo, who has a show, Home Field Advantage, Monday through Thursday, 3 to 5. You know him. I call games with him. Called a game last night, Clovis and Buchanan, boys basketball. We're going to be talking about that. He's coming on the show, talking about all the basketball scores. A little bit about baseball. I know the weather doesn't look like it, but baseball is right around the corner. It's going to be here. Games. I mean, practices are going full board, but games are going to be starting in about a month here in the Central Valley. Talking about high school and Fresno State. So maybe a little baseball talk with Gabe Camarillo. At the bottom of hour number two, Paul Hernandez of 661 Hoops Live. Now, Paul's been on the show before. I like to bring him on, because this guy is extremely knowledgeable, especially about boys basketball up and down the central section. He's based in Bakersfield, so he's got a good handle on the Bakersfield school. But, I mean, that guy travels, man. That guy gets after it. And he's actually driving down here. Well, we better check on that guy because the weather's bad, obviously. But he's traveling down here for a big showcase at Edison High School today. So he's jumping on the show at the bottom of the hour talking about rankings, you know, who should be ranked where, team strength. It's always good to check on him and see where teams are peaking. Maybe some teams are regressing a bit. Transfers obviously make a huge difference. So it's always good to check in with Paul. He'll give us the lowdown of Central Section high school basketball, especially on the boys' side. At the top of hour number two, finally some soccer talk. But it's going to be a good one because I don't know if you guys know, but Clovis North is ranked extremely high this year. They're undefeated. They beat Clovis East yesterday afternoon, 1-0, so they had a tough game. Hey, most soccer games are tough. But Clovis North, the boys are ranked not only number one in the section, 13-0 and one tie, number one in the state, according to Max Preps, undefeated, and number four in the nation, again, according to Max Preps. So I got a couple players. There's some twins. There's some senior twins on the show, Brandon and Brian Lopez. They have their own Lopez brothers. And Brian is scoring at a frantic pace. I think he scored the only goal in the game yesterday. So he's got 17 goals on the season. His brother is a starter as well. Bringing in Coach Cam Shiroki, So, yeah, I'm really excited about that. We give a lot of love to the big sports, the football and the basketball and the softball and the baseball. So finally time to talk a little bit about soccer. Really excited about that at top of hour number two. At the bottom of hour number two, sticking with basketball, Coach Brad Rosnowski, the head coach at San Joaquin Memorial. I mean, let's be honest, his Panthers went into a little bit of a lull. Lost a few games in a row. Didn't play real well at the Classic at Damien. A lot of questions, a lot of chatter. What's going on with the Panthers? We know that they've had extremely successful teams over the years. You think about the last 8 years or so when you went to a San Joaquin Memorial basketball game. Who were you watching? You were watching Jalen Green. We know what he's doing. Number two pick in the NBA, Houston Rockets. Or Joseph Hunter, who unfortunately is out for the year. He's a freshman playing for Fresno State. But talk with Coach Roz about the adjustments you have to make during a season, you know, a little bit about Jalen and JoJo and some of the highlights of that. You know, coaching can be a difficult job. We all know that, right? If you're a parent, right, I'm sure you have not been happy with even the best of coaches, right? I've actually seen players or heard parents, I should say, after winning a Central Section championship. Literally, I'm at a championship game. I'm not going to say what sport. Literally, their team won a Central Section championship, celebrating, right? And I heard parents complaining about their kid not getting playing time after they won a section title. So they are out there. And so it's always good to get a little bit of a check on that and see where we're at. But, yeah, anyway, Coach Brad Rosnowski is a great guy. I love talking with him. Very honest, very willing to come on the show. Giving of his time. So look forward to that at the bottom of hour number two. I also want to mention that the rain and the weather and the forecast, right? We might get a little bit of sunshine in the afternoon, but the weather report's brought to you by Lee's Air and Plumbing and Heating. So definitely check those guys out. All right. You know, if you guys have listened to my show, if you guys are familiar with the Central Valley Sports Report, or even, you know, my online presence for whatever that's worth. I like to share things. I'm a personable guy, right? I like to share life with my audience. And last night, my oldest daughter got engaged. One of those life moments that you are prepared for but not prepared for. One of those benchmarks. And you know, she's in college right now. And she's been dating a guy for about 3 years. And they got engaged. And at Woodward Park, the Japanese Gardens, at about 3:14 in the afternoon last night, or in the afternoon. But later, at 5:30, we're supposed to go on the air. So a little bit of a surprise. I found about it in the morning and went there. And after Michael proposed to my daughter, Georgie, we were all hanging out in the parking lot celebrating and taking pictures and all that good stuff. And, I mean, I'm just extremely proud. And if you are a girl dad out there, you know, nothing can really prepare you for these types of moments. And it's already here. It's already hit my life. So we were able to celebrate in the parking lot. I drove over to Clovis High and called the Buchanan and Clovis game and jetted out there right when the game was over and met the families at BJ's Brewery and had a little bit more of a celebration. So, man, life moves at you really, really fast. So just enjoy the moments out there, guys. And I did. I don't have any regrets as far as spending time with my daughter and those types of things. But, you know, life moves really, really fast. The hustle and bustle can take over. And here I am at a life moment. My daughter's engaged, man. It's coming. The wedding's probably going to be at the end of the summer. So, yeah, it's going to be a fast and furious next 8 months or so of my life. All right, let's talk about some basketball scores really quick. I mentioned that we were able to do the Clovis and Buchanan boys basketball game last night. Clovis came away with the win, 52-45 over Buchanan. Lots of storylines in this one, and Gabe Camarillo and I are going to be talking about that after the break. Tom Ulrich taking over the basketball program at Buchanan. Everybody knows him as the longtime boys basketball coach at Clovis West. I mean, been to a state championship game. Before that was at South Lake Tahoe, won two state championships in the state of Nevada. And John Hines played for him and coached with him. And he's the Clovis coach. And so they met. They met in a game, and who could have predicted something like that? And Clovis came away with the win. They played really good defense. Buchanan had a lead midway through the second quarter, but Clovis kept chipping away and pulled away at the end. Clovis West was undefeated this time last year. Then they lost to Modesto Christian, and then lost to Clovis North, a game that we called. And they had a little bit of a tough time in Central. They were down a couple starters, beat them 70-63. Clovis North keeps on winning. That's a fun team to watch. They beat Clovis East 70-56. And the girls' side, Clovis East girls, be careful. These girls, they're playing a lot better. A few years ago, they had only won like two games. Coach Garrett Mantle's done a good job. They beat Clovis North 70-17. Yep, you heard that right, 70-17. Coach Garrett Mantle, again, Clovis East girls. And Alexandria Ulrich is the coach at Clovis North. I bet you guys didn't know that either. Yeah, Coach Ulrich's daughter has taken over the program at Clovis North. This is her first year. Clovis West girls had a tough one. Tough one at Central. Beat them 57-45, 12-point win. We're used to Clovis West blowing everybody out. They're 18-0. They're ranked fourth in the state. So, you know, a little bit of adversity never hurt a team. Clovis High, in a game that Gabe and I are going to talk about as well, because he was able to stay after I left. He was able to stay and watch that one. Clovis girls beat Buchanan in a battle of 2-3, 63-48. So that's just a few of the scores around the Central section. Get into more scores as the program gets along. I do want to say congratulations to Kendall Milton. Georgia, right? From Buchanan, goes to Georgia. We're all wondering, hey, how many carries is he going to get? Well, how about this? Back-to-back national champions, right? First of all, back-to-back. Scored a touchdown in the national championship game. Had 33 yards rushing. I had a feeling he was going to have a good game and get some tough yards, you know. And sure enough, he did. I mean, when it was 10-7, it was close. Like, okay, TCU, keep it close. Obviously, at times, it looked like a varsity against a JV team. We all know the final score, 65-7, absolute blowout. And Kendall, I mean, he ran the ball really hard. Congrats to the Miltons family. I was able to text Dad during the game a little bit, and he's like, can you believe a kid from Clovis is a back-to-back national champion for the University of Georgia? And I don't know if you guys saw this either, but there was a news station that interviewed Kendall on the field after the game. He gave a big shout out to Fresno and Clovis. It was really, really neat. Go ahead and find that on Twitter. If you're on Twitter, check that out. But he gave a big shout out, and that was really, really neat. And we love it when our Central Valley athletes go on and do great things at the next level, whether it's the college level or the pro level. And when they remember the Valley and they remember where they came from in their high school, I mean, that means a lot to us. And you think about Josh Allen as well, who's playing tomorrow at 10 o'clock against the Miami. You know, those guys that embrace the Central Valley and give shout-outs, man, those guys become legends in our eyes, and I really, really appreciate that. So, again, congrats to Kendall Milton, and good luck to Josh Allen tomorrow. Really looking forward to that game. I think that's going to be a blowout. Well, I hope, fingers crossed, 13.5 point spread. But, I think the Bills, obviously, they've been through a lot. They've been through a lot of adversity the last couple of weeks. So, good luck to Josh Allen. Congrats to Kendall Milton. Coming up after the break, talk about basketball, more basketball, and maybe a little bit of baseball with Gabe Camarillo coming up on the Central Valley Sports Report on 1430 ESPN.
The Central Valley Sports Report starts now.
Rain, and more rain. Thank you guys for listening. My name is Paul Metters. This is the Central Valley Sports Report. Tuned in to 1430 ESPN. The kings of high school sports. Yep. Absolutely. We love to talk about high school kids, broadcast high school games. I think we did 17 high school football games this year. I believe we're up to 6 basketball games. I was able to broadcast last night Clovis and Buchanan boys basketball with my friend Gabe Camarillo. You guys know Gabe, right? You guys listen to his show 3-5 Monday through Thursday. Gabe's a huge voice in the Central Valley. So Gabe, what's going on, man?
Nothing much. What about you, Paul?
Hey, hanging out. hanging out here at First String Sports. Love being here. So first of all, thanks for covering for me last night. I literally jetted when that buzzer. Well, after we did our post game, I jetted. I left you hanging a little bit. I felt bad. Because you got to, I left you clean up the equipment, man. I owe you something. I really appreciate that last night.
No, no worries. When you told me the news, I was over the moon happy because that is, you're a future father-in-law. That's, I don't know how you're feeling right now. How are you feeling?
Well, yeah, it's crazy because in my mind, I still feel like I'm 26, 27 years old. I feel like I haven't fully matured into an adult yet, let alone be a future father-in-law. So that's kind of where I'm at.
I'm just happy I was able to cover for you, and I was happy that I was able to be a part of a special day just by calling that great game we had last night, Buchanan versus Clovis boys basketball.
No, yeah, that was a lot of fun, and one of my takeaways from that game last night was the history of Clovis High. I felt like we could have talked about it a little bit more, just how incredible of a school Clovis High is. We're able to bring in Coach Aaron Wilkins the first year, well, I guess the second year now, second year football coach, soon to be second year football coach at Clovis High, came on at halftime, had a great conversation here, and for somebody to come in and know the history of the school and just understand the camaraderie that is there and able to look on the walls of the gym and read some of the names of the players on the boards, the greatest of all time in each sport. I mean, the gym was literally covered with names. It went all the way back to 1932. I saw some names from 1932. So it was a great atmosphere last night. Very, very loud. It was feeder night at the school. But, yeah, what are some of your takeaways from last night's experience, Gabe?
Clovis High School is good at basketball. And they've been good at basketball, but they're competitive now in the track. And they are a team to watch in the track. And they're 2-0 in the track for the first time I heard since 2006 in boys basketball. So that is fantastic for Coach Hines. I'm a big fan of his. I love what he's doing with the rebuild. We talked about that a little bit on the broadcast. Clovis High, they're known for their baseball prowess, obviously, with all the titles won by James Patrick. They're known for the football titles under Tim Simons, and they're known for wrestling as well. But I do think that softball too, with Mike Noel, I do think that boys basketball, it has had a bit of a rut lately. You know, there's been multiple coaches that's come in and tried to rebuild to where it once was when Jason LaFour and those Clovis High teams are winning track titles or competing for them. And I think we see a guy in John Hines who is starting to see the progress from his rebuilding efforts, right? We saw many years where Clovis High was, you know, just not competitive against track schools. And so far, they beat in Central on the road and they beat Buchanan at home. They've won two games that they should have won, but they did it impressively. And we can talk about some of the guys that stood out on the floor, from Trayvon Sanderson, number 24, to number 30, I'm forgetting his name, but he had two huge threes and a huge offensive rebound. When I remember the name, Paul, I'll let you know. But I just, there's so many different guys you can point to. The young freshman, Jackson Scarborough. I mentioned Lawson Belmont, did I not? I think that this Clovis High team, pretty deep, pretty fun to watch. They get it done the right way, and you can tell that they spent their summer and their fall in the gym, and it's paying off this winter.
And one of the storylines that I mentioned in my opener was Tom Orlich, who took over the program at Buchanan after Coach Ed Maddock was stepped down. But, yeah, just that storyline, you were able to watch them a little bit before the game and hugging and talking it over. But that was just really neat to see a player – right, played for Coach Orlich, and then coached with him, and then able to coach with him in a real big time basketball game. That was fun to see.
Mason Theobald, number 30. That's the guy I was thinking of.
There you go.
And there's another guy also, Dillabay Allison, number 0, their junior point guard. He was kind of like the glue that held the offense together for Clovis High. But to your point, you know, to have Tom Orlich step in right away and lead the Buchanan program after what happened with Ed Maddock, and you know, that's a bizarre situation in itself that could have really spun this team off course, but Tom Orlich has this team competing in every game. They did suffer a devastating injury on Tuesday, losing their best player for the rest of the season with a fractured fibula. So, you know, I hope Buchanan's able to finish this season strong, and I'm hoping Tom Orlich is able to coach the Bears to a few more wins.
I spit out a couple fun facts about Coach Orlich on the broadcast last night, but there was one I didn't get to that I'll mention here on my show. In 1989, he was able to coach the West team in the McDonald's All-American game. You know who was on that team? Shaquille O'Neal. So he's one of the few coaches around in the Central Valley, probably the only one that can say, yeah, I was on a team that I coached a team that was able to coach Shaq.
I was talking to Jason LaFleur during the girls game, and he was telling me that Tom Orlich has a couple unique flexes like that. Like, he coached a player who eventually turned into the GM of the Cavaliers that drafted Kyrie Irving first overall. Like, his players go on to be NBA general managers, they go on to be coaches, they go on to be different things in different walks of life. But it's pretty cool that Tom Orlich's coaching tree includes an NBA GM and John Hines.
Absolutely, that's a lot of fun. But you were able to stay for that really good girls basketball game between Clovis High and Buchanan. Tell us about that game, man. What stood out? I know that Clovis has got some young guns, but they got a couple senior girls that are really good. So describe the energy and what went on in that game.
It was a fun game from start to finish, and Buchanan got really hot early in the game from three-point range. I believe they made their first five threes in a row, so they had a big lead early, but Clovis kept sticking with it. I talked to Cooper Steele after the game, and you know, Buchanan was leading by one at halftime, and then Clovis turns it all around in the second half and ends up winning by the final score 63-48. So I asked Coach Steele, right, what was the halftime speech? He must have said something very, very motivational to these girls to get that kind of second half effort on both ends of the floor. And he just said it was simple, you know, just keep with it, stay patient, because they knew that what they were doing was going to work. It was just a matter of having those shots fall, which they did in the second half. I want to highlight a pair of Cougars, one a freshman, the other a senior. You got the talented freshman, Sadie Sin. I heard a lot about her. I first learned about her from Demetrius Porter, who coaches her in club basketball, and he told me, you know, you got to pay attention to Sadie Sin at Clovis High. And then I heard it from Coach Steele earlier this week on my show saying that he is, or she is, one of the most talented young freshmen that he's ever coached. He's right. Cooper Steele's right. Demetrius Porter's right. Sadie Sin led the way with 18 points and 4 three-pointers. She has a lot of range. She's able to get inside and knife her way to the rim for a layup. She's a really talented scorer. And as a freshman, she's leading this Clovis Cougar team. And also you have the senior, Alyssa Kim, a transfer from Buchanan. So that was an interesting storyline going into last night. She had 17 points. As for the Buchanan Bears, I was really impressed with number 2, Alani Oliver. She had 18 points, and she was really the most athletic Bear out there. Also, like what I saw from Vanna Quintera and Kylie Barnes, that Buchanan team's really, really good. They lost last night, but they're still 17-3. They're still a top 4 team in the Central section. I fully expect Buchanan and Clovis to both get byes in the playoffs, but it was really fun to watch some high-level girls basketball last night at Clovis High School.
Coach Adam Wall does a phenomenal job for the Buchanan Bears. That guy's high energy, man. That guy, he doesn't take any plays or any possessions off. He's fun to watch on the sidelines. I think, Gabe, you know, Clovis West, right? They're obviously 18-0, ranked 4th in the state by Cal High Sports. They had a little bit of a tough go. Beat Central 57-45. I think we're so used. I mean, are we so used to Clovis West girls blowing everybody out by 20 or more points?
Hey, it's track play. It's track play.
Exactly. And right. And you're not going to blow through track play and make it too much of a breeze. But yeah, they're still 18-0, 2-0 in the track. They're going to play Buchanan. They're going to play Clovis. Those are going to be really good games. But I want to mention, too, the Clovis East and Clovis North game. When you texted me late last night, the score of that game, that kind of shocked me, right? We're not used to seeing Clovis East, first of all, score 70 points, but beat Clovis North, who's a pretty good team. We watched about a half of their game against Clovis West after we did the boys game. But, yeah, they beat Clovis North 70-17. So what did that tell you?
Yeah, I think I learned more from what I heard about the Clovis East Buchanan game before that. Yeah, the 70-17 score is eye-opening because you're noticing that Clovis East is now a dominant program in the track. But according to someone who was at the Clovis East Buchanan game, East was in control most of that game. Buchanan started cutting into their deficit in the third and fourth quarter, but they only took the lead on the game winner. They hit a three to go up 57-55 in the last minute, but Clovis East led a really good Buchanan team for most of Tuesday night, and then they go on and defeat Clovis North by 53 points. Yeah, Clovis East is right up there with Buchanan, Clovis, and Clovis West, and Central when we talk about contenders. And you know what's funny, Paul? I just mentioned 5 of the league teams as contenders in the track. That's how good this track girls basketball conference is. This is once again the best conference in girls basketball. And right now, I'm willing to say it, this is the best league in California. When you have this many high-level teams, Clovis East, Central, Clovis West, Buchanan and Clovis, and I know Clovis North, led by Coach Orlich, the daughter of Tom Orlich, I know they're going to be competitive in most of these games. You have the best basketball, girls basketball, in the state, in the track. I am so excited to see more of these games.
No, you're right. And a few years ago, those games between Clovis West and Clovis North were absolutely packed. It was the crowds were crazy back then. And yeah, I've said this in the past too, Gabe, and I agree. It's the best public school, at least in the state of California, public school league. You know, you think about the modern days and some of those schools where it can be a different level. I know Sierra Canyon. There are a lot of really good teams down south, but as far as public schools go, I think we're at the top. Hey, Gabe, what about baseball? We got a couple minutes here, right? The weather outside, it's raining. It's not baseball weather, but baseball is going to be here before we know it. Buchanan has a game against Liberty on February 15th. Fresno State starts a couple days later, and off air, you mentioned that Fresno City is going to get going in a couple weeks. But seems like the local talent, our local guys, some of our superstars in baseball are headed to Fresno State. There's a freshman class right now that has a few kids, and there's a current senior class in high school that has at least three kids that are committed to Fresno State. We know the Coach Batesol stepped down. Ryan Overland has taken over. But isn't that really, really neat to see?
Absolutely. And the response on social media agreed with me. You know, I had a feeling that a lot of people would be happy to see that there are four straight out of high school freshmen that are from the Central Valley, that were stars here in the Central Valley in high school baseball, and now they're suiting up for the Diamond Dogs. Jet Ruby, he's a freshman second baseman. I think he's a guy that can help right away. I know that Fresno State has a lot of middle infielders coming back, talking about Golden West grad Peyton Allen, Travis Welker from Santa Ynez. Like, they have some locals already there in the middle infield, but they add Jet Ruby, and they add a guy by the name of Tristan Gray. You might know him by his other name, Murph Gray. And someone mentioned on Twitter, 6'4" infielder, that guy must have a cannon of an arm. And he does have a cannon of an arm. I've seen him pitch with that arm, and he's going to be an infielder. He's also known for his bat. I think he's going to be a guy that projects to be, in a couple years, one of the studs on this Fresno State baseball team, talking about Murph Gray. Jack Anker, loved watching him pitch. I saw him go head-to-head against Cam Schneider, and that was a great pitcher's duel. Both those guys headed to Fresno State. Jack Anker this year, Cam Schneider the following year. And then Nathan Beza, I've seen him in a couple pitching duels as well. Had one of the filthiest changeups last year in the Central section, and he's a pitcher for the Diamond Dogs. And so when you add them on top of Cooper Bergman from Buchanan, and a couple other guys I know I'm leaving off, Eshawn Henderson from Clovis West, this team is very local, and that's what makes it very fun to watch. I think this recent recruiting class and next year's recruiting class, talking about seven locals in two classes, that's going to bring a lot of fans out to Pete Biden Field.
I agree. I can't wait for baseball season. It's going to be a lot of fun, but we're smack dab in the middle of basketball season. Gabe, thanks for all you do. I really appreciate you, and good job by you, and we'll talk to you soon.
Absolutely, and once again, congratulations. I was glad I was able to cover last night, but next time Buchanan and Clovis play each other in girls basketball, we have to watch it together, man. Those two teams are fun to watch. Track girls basketball in general is fun to watch. Thank you, sir.
Absolutely, absolutely. Catch it. All right, coming up after the break, talking more boys basketball with Paul Hernandez. He is the director of 661 Hoops Live, coming up on 1430 ESPN.
The Central Valley Sports Report starts now.
I wish I found some better sound. There it is, 21 Pilots. I wish I had a better voice. Gotta wait for Tyler Joseph to start singing. I never want to interrupt my guy. 21 Pilots, if you guys haven't checked them out, they're one of my favorite bands of all time. I've seen them twice in concert when they came to Fresno. That was a good show. And then we drove to Oakland for their other show. So, yep, 21 Pilots, one of my favorites. Thanks, Gabe, for bringing them in. Speaking of bringing them in, Paul Hernandez, 661 Hoops Live. You can follow him at P_33 on Twitter. Does an incredible job. He's an easy follow, right? If you're not on Twitter, that's totally fine. I totally get it. Or Twitter can be a pretty scary place. It can be whatever you want to make it. That's what Twitter is. That's how I view it. So just follow the people that you want to follow. And he is an instant follow because he does an incredible job not only going to games, reporting on games, showcasing the young guys that are up and coming, going to showcases, does a great job. So, Paul, first of all, you're out of the rain, right? You're in a safe spot right now?
Yes. We're actually we got on the road good earlier this morning, so we're already at Edison right now in the gym. So, yes.
So no,
off
no
the road, out of the rain.
All right, so good. You're in a safe spot. So yeah, so Paul, I want to mention too that you're in Edison right now. I assume that you're going to be there all day. There's games starting at 11. I think the last one is at 4 o'clock. The MLK showcase. I believe they're using both gyms, and so you're getting a good. You're getting a first look, I think, at their new gym. So are you able to check it out? What do you see right now?
Yeah, actually, I haven't been over there yet. I got in here. I wanted to set things up. We got here about 15 minutes ago. But, yeah, I took a peek in real quick. It looks really nice. The main gym looks really good, too, though. Actually, I haven't been to this facility in a couple of years since they've redone a lot of the gym, and it looks really, really good. So, yeah, it looks going to be an entertaining day. Got a good slate of games. I think you have 2, 4, 6, 8 games. But because of the two gym format, it's condensed to like a 5-6 hour event, that's always kind of nice, you know?
Yeah, that way you're able to drive home and get home at a decent hour. So I'm looking at the schedule right now. So at 11 in the West Gym, you got Fowler Mendota, 11:30 East Bakersfield Fireball, 12:30 Selma Independence. I hope you're able to check out that game because I know Selma's got a really good team this year. In the East Gym, Stockdale and Hanford. Oh, that's going to be a fun one to watch. 2 o'clock, Frontier, Hanford West, 2:30, Liberty and Lemoore, Central and Centennial at 3:30, and then 4 o'clock, the marquee game, Edison versus Bakersfield Christian. What stands out to you when you're looking at that slate of games?
A lot. So like you had just mentioned, the first one up there was the Selma Independence game. I'm really looking forward to that one. Independence has obviously lost a few players to transfer. They still have a pretty solid guard-heavy team. Prince Ellis transferred from South High, so he's there as a senior. You have Ethan Eccles as a sophomore and also Amarius Rowell. So they got a good backcourt, and I like Selma's guard play as well, led by Nick Esparza. So I think that could be a really competitive game. I think as a kind of lower division team for Selma, I think it gives them a chance to get a win over a team that's a base division two. And I think it's a good challenge for Independence. They struggled this year, you know. Again, you lose a guy like Gabe Gutierrez, and then senior Ty Tyler. Those are kind of some foundational pieces. So they're having to kind of, you know, make shift some stuff different this year. But so I think it should be a good game. I think, in my opinion, I think Selma could probably come in this one and steal it. Then I think the Stockdale-Hanford matchup is good. Stockdale had a phenomenal start to the season. They obviously lost their opener to Centennial of Bakersfield the other night on Tuesday, but it was a great overtime game. So I think that one could be good. I haven't seen Hanford this year, so I'm looking forward to, you know, catching a little bit of that one. I'm extremely excited. The gyms are literally right next to each other. So if I have to switch sides, it's not walking across to the other one, so it's a little less incentive. So I'm looking forward to seeing that one. And I think, you know, the Hanford-West Frontier matchup. Frontier's got two big 6'5", you know, give or take plus. One's a sophomore, I believe the other's a junior. They've been able to provide some interior presence, but they graduated a lot of really quality guard play last year. So I haven't really seen them since their football guys have emerged onto the team. So I'm curious to watch that one. And Hanford West obviously always bringing the punch with Jaden Hare. And then the sophomore that I really like a lot is Remy Barnes too. And then the last three games, I'm really looking forward to. Liberty Lemoore I think is going to be a good one. Lemoore's tough. I know they've had a pretty strong start to the season. Got third place in the Clovis Elks tournament. Liberty has actually kind of gotten all their football pieces together. Had a really big blowout win to start league over Garces. Lost to Stockdale the other night, but it was a tie game at half. So, you know, they seem to be kind of trending in the right direction. I think the Liberty-Lemoore game could be, in my opinion, like one of the top two or three games of the day. Centennial and Central, I'm curious. Central struggled, obviously, to start off the season. Lost to Clovis. I think the opener for the track, if I'm not mistaken, they've had some tough L's this year. Centennial's obviously been a team that's a top 3 or 4 team in the section. So I'm curious to see. But if we're being honest, they have a lot of similarities outside of Rip and Gill for Centennial. They're kind of very similar, athletic, big, physical. So that game could be a good one if Gill gets in foul trouble. And if Centennial maybe comes in a little too relaxed and not seeing it as a tough challenge. And then I think the headliner, obviously, is the big one. Edison has had a tough loss in the last couple weeks or the last week and a half, but they've been to quality teams, obviously. Centennial and San Joaquin Memorial. They got a win last night, I believe, against Madera. So that's I like this matchup. Bakersfield Christian's been piecing things together. I got a chance to watch them on Thursday against Ridgeview in their second league game, and it was a really, really good game. BCHS is better than they were before their transfers were cleared, but obviously still trying to, similar to what San Joaquin's doing, they're still trying to piece some of the stuff together with the cleared transfer guys in the mix because they're impact guys right away. So you're not just throwing in role players. So I think this one could be a really good one, and obviously could have some really big implications for rankings in the section, whether it's Max Prep's rankings, you know, your rankings, my rankings. I think that's a big one for shaking some things up. If BCHS wins, they've gone on a six-game winning streak. I think that purports them back in the top six or seven. If Edison gets the win, I think that kind of keeps them in the top six or seven argument as well, too. So pretty big implication game to close out this event. I'm really looking forward to it.
No, I agree. And that's a good comparison. Talking about Bakersfield Christian and San Joaquin Memorial, obviously they're private schools and they got some transfers in. And, you know, Coach Garrett Brown and Coach Roz, who's coming on the show later at the bottom of hour number two, we're going to talk about that and just how you're able to blend teams and mesh teams. And sometimes it takes about halfway through the season or maybe halfway through league to get your rotations right, to get your practice schedule right, to, you know, for these guys to get used to each other. And I think those are two really good examples. So because both those teams are very, very scary. I want to go through my top 10 rankings, Paul, and I want to see where I'm right and where I'm wrong. See if you agree. And a little discourse is obviously very, very good for radio. So number one, the general consensus is St. Joe. So I got them number one. I got Clovis North number two, Clovis West three, Centennial four, San Joaquin Memorial has now jumped up to five based on their recent week, last week. Stockdale at six, a little shaky on that. I got Bakersfield Christian at seven. Those might be able to be flip-flopped. Got Edison eight. We'll know a little bit more about both those teams after today. Clovis East at nine. Those young pups are playing pretty good basketball. And then Mission Prep 10. I know they lost tonight by 19 to St. Joseph's. I don't know how good of a gauge that is. I was on the fence about them at number 10. Don't really know who I'd bump up to put in that number 10 spot. But where am I right? Where am I wrong?
I think you're about exactly where I would probably have mine. Maybe not 100% in that order, but definitely those tops. I think, again, like you said, with St. Joe's, although they've suffered some losses this year, if you look at their losses, a two-point loss to Bishop Montgomery, top five team in the state, a six-point loss to Sierra Canyon, a top 10 team in the state, and then they lose by one. And again, it's tough sometimes with the Max Preps rankings, especially in Florida, because that team that beat them was ranked ahead of Montverde. I've been fortunate to see Montverde at the Border League this year. There's maybe one or two teams in the country better than them. So I don't know where that stacks, but they are a top team in Florida. Florida's another powerhouse basketball state. So, you know, those three losses are almost like, if you can say it's a quality loss over others' wins, that's to me why I have them one and what they bring to the roster. I think they just have, if it's all clicking for them, it's going to be hard to beat them in the section. Two, I agree with you. I'm putting North right there. And with some of the wins they've been able to accumulate, obviously the big one over Clovis West to start league off, I think is huge. I'm kind of torn right now because I want to give the three to Clovis West because they do have that head-to-head win over Centennial early on. However, it was really early on, you know. So I'm kind of torn what to do with those two. But I think today, depending on how they play against Central, because I know Clovis West just played Central last night, and it wasn't a blowout win, you know what I mean? So I don't know if you were there for that game or not, but I
no, Paul, really quick. Clovis West was missing two starters on that one. So okay. Marshall Sanders, okay. DJ Stickman were nursing some injuries. So, yeah, they weren't able to play. So that's why I think that score was a little bit closer than we thought.
That's huge defensive presence, too. You know what I mean? Those two are like probably the top defenders in the section. So, but then after that, I agree. I think it starts to get, you know, the Centennials. I think the top four, no matter what order they're in, I love what you have for the top four. And I agree. I think San Joaquin's kind of put themselves back in the mix in the top six or seven. Stockdale's loss to Centennial was such a good loss. Again, I don't know if I dropped them too much, but I have them in the top 10 as well. Everything else, like you said, plays out. I really like Clovis East, man. They're so much fun to watch. And knowing what they have coming in the next couple of years, you got Aiden Beachler's little brother, who's a seventh grader, who's a stud, Tristan Beachler. You got Camden Thompson's little brother, who's an eighth grader at 6'4", coming in there next year. So the sky's the limit for them. I think right now they're kind of an upset team, but they're still really good. You know, and obviously Wiggins did a great job. Mission Prep to me is another one. I have them top 10 as well. They'll probably be number 10 for me. I don't see anybody better than them. When you have a kid like J.J. Howard who can score what he can score, I think that 19-point loss to St. Joe's makes sense. If you look at when they both played Bishop Montgomery, St. Joe's loses by 2. They lose by almost 15-20. There's your difference right there in the head-to-head matchup. You know what I mean? So they're about a 20-point team better than anybody in their league with regards to being St. Joe's. So I do like Mission Prep there. I think they can get some upsets going on. I think for them the toughest part is where do you really go offensively outside of J.J.? But I do. I like your top 10. I think it's a really solid top 10.
Hey, thank you. That feels really good coming from Paul Hernandez, head of 661 Hoops Live. All right, really quick, Paul, before I get to my next question, I got to ask you about your Twitter account. At P_33, what does P double mean? Is that like a nickname? Obviously, P is for Paul, but what's the double underscore 33?
Total like nickname-ish from when I was younger. That was just something people would, hey, what up, P double? What's going on, P double? I don't really know even who started it, how it started. So it's one of those things where, like, when I first started a Twitter account, it was just a personal account. I don't even remember how many years ago at this point. I guess if you go to Twitter, it tells you when you joined. And it's one of those things you can't change. You know what I mean?
No, you can't.
once you accumulate a certain amount of, like, following, it's almost like, do you want to start over? Do you want to be in that mode of, hey, it's a new account? So until it ever gets hacked, knock on wood, I hope it doesn't happen, it'll consistently be, and 33 is my lucky number. So.
Well, there you go. Well, maybe Elon Musk is listening to the show.
Yeah,
maybe he's listening to the show. And he's like, oh, yeah, let me make those changes here. But, yeah, I can totally relate because back when email first started, right, I was creating all these stupid, like, Star Wars email accounts with Star Wars names. And one of them I still have. I'm like, oh, my gosh. Now everyone just got to put your name, man. You got to put your name out there. Make yourself a little more legit. So, yeah, I had to ask you that. We only got a couple minutes here, Paul, and you do a fantastic job. Thanks for coming on. I want to talk about that young class. You mentioned some young kids from that's coming up through Clovis East, but there's some really good freshmen and sophomores out there. So who are some names that the Central Valley can store in their banks and remember right now or remember for in the future?
Well, let's go ahead and start with the we'll go freshmen then sophomores because I think that's the freshman class is just really intriguing, really intriguing. I think some names at the top of the freshman class I have is like obviously Jackson Scarborough, the 6'8", kind of wing forward for Clovis. Based on just the physical attributes itself, he shoots the three ball well. He's a kid I think that's just keep a name out for, and I think his stock will only continue to rise. Then you have Julius Price over at St. Joseph's, the freshman point guard. He's put up some gaudy numbers in Florida at the event they were at last week. And I've seen him a few times live outside of the setting with regards to the St. Joe's setting. So it's some Tango's event. And the kid is just, he's got a strong build. He's probably the most complete freshman right now. Then I like Parker Spees is another name to keep an eye out for. 6'5"-ish, lanky, kind of reminds me a lot of Jaden Jerome, who played at San Joaquin Memorial, graduated in 2021. A lot of similarities. I like his defensive presence as well as being a three-point shooter. The kid that's really caught my attention the last couple weeks for Clovis East is Dalen Felder. Dalen Felder is a really special talent. And again, given what he already brings to the table, the room to grow is unreal. So I love his game. And then on that same roster, and I didn't even have him in my top 10 when I did my 2026 player rankings, but because he was playing football at the time, is Liddell Farmer. 6'3", 6'4", kind of wing forward. My understanding is football may not be in the future, and it may solely be basketball. I saw him at the Modesto Christian Tournament, their holiday classic, and he does so much to impact the game and still he's got a lot to grow. And then kind of lastly in that group of like five is I really like Elias Gish also, the 6'3", 6'4", shooter that's at Clovis North right now. Those are probably the five names. Obviously, the Javance Coleman for Bullard. He's really kind of asserted himself, and with Bullard losing as much scoring as they did last year, he's really kind of slid in and helping fill that role. So those are probably the five or six guys I would really have on the radar. But the class is deep. I mean, I've seen about four or five kids in the last couple of weeks that I didn't even have in my top 25 list that should be. You know what I mean? I mean, it's just a really, really deep class. So that's the one I like a lot for the 26. And then when we get to the 25 class, the current sophomore class, then you're talking about, obviously, at the top, the highest prospect in the section, which is Tunde Yusufo for St. Joe's. He's obviously, I think, if you don't know who he is right now in basketball in the Central Section, you don't know basketball in the Central Section. He's by far and away the top prospect in the Central Section right now. After him, it gets really interesting. I really like the progress that Lucas Jones has made this year for Clovis North. I think he had 6'3", with his ability to shoot from all over. But the role he's had to assert himself into with Connor being out for the season has really helped him, and he's been one of their top scorers. And I really like where he's at. Obviously, Julius Alaranju from St. Joseph's, he's just gotten cleared. You know him kind of fitting into the system like we talked about earlier. But at 6'5", he's really a perimeter guy. I think he's sky's the limit, already a D1 prospect. So once you get past those three, it gets a little interesting. I think in that mix with them, although doesn't have the hype to gain the attention, but is definitely gaining attention on the court, is Gabe Gutierrez, who the recent transfer, the transfer guard who's at BCHS right now at Bakersfield Christian. His insertion into their lineup since he's been cleared from his 30-day has literally changed the entire look of that team. The pace of play is faster. The defensive intensity on the perimeter, you really can't account for the things that he does on the court. He reminds me a lot of Seth Marantos, who's currently at FPU, Fresno Pacific, who was at BCHS, graduated in 2021. A lot of similarities, a good two-way player, quality decision maker. He can create his own offense. You know, again, only about 5'10"-ish, so he's not gaining the attention from Division I schools. But he was the player of the game for them at the BSN event they did at Pacifica Christian last week. Just a really impressive. And then after that, it starts to open up. Remy Barnes is a kid I love in that class as well for Hanford West. 6'3"-ish, long, wiry, real good two-way player. He's got to learn to play with more pace, but I think he's figuring that out now. I'm curious where he'll be next year with Jaden Hare graduating. I don't know if he'll still be at Hanford West. So I'm curious if he does move, where does that go? But those are the kind of the five in the 2025 class, the current sophomores, I think, that are kind of the ones that have separated themselves and players to keep an eye on the next couple of years.
Well, thanks, Paul. That's just a wealth of knowledge. Always so good to have you on the show. My gosh, there's nobody better in the Central Section as far as player evaluations and getting getting kids' names out there and all that stuff. So, Paul, always fun running to you. I'm sure I'll run into you before the basketball season is up. Have fun at Edison, and we'll be sure to follow your tweets and some of these updates. Appreciate you, my friend.
I appreciate it, Paul. Thanks very much, man. You have a great rest of your day.
Yeah, you too. All right, coming up after the break, we got some soccer guys, man. I'm super pumped about this. The guys from Clovis North are here on 1430 ESPN.
In a world where high school sports don't exist. Wait, no. We don't like that world. Different world, please. That's better. The Central Valley Sports Report starts now.
Welcome back to the Central Valley Sports Report. I am your host, Paul Metters. This is hour number two. Thanks for tuning in. If you missed hour number one, go ahead and go to the 1430 ESPN website and check it out. You could download all the shows. So we had a great conversation with Gabe Camarillo, who's producing the show. You could download his Home Field Advantage show. Tony D, you know, the trusted voice of Tony D, and obviously the Jose Gonzalez show that's on in the mornings, starting at 7 a.m. And I believe Friday's starting at 12 o'clock. So you can download all the other episodes in case you miss it. All right, it's soccer time. I've waited long enough. All right. Give a lot of love to football, a lot of love to basketball. So now it's time to give some love to soccer. And I got the best of the best right now. So Clovis North got Cam Shirokey coach. Got Brian and Brandon Lopez. So they got their own Lopez twins. Lopez twins are pretty famous throughout the Central Valley. Think about Brooke and Robin from Memorial, who made a great run in the NBA. But Lopez twins are here. Clovis North, 13-0-1. Got that one tie. Who was it to? Jesuit, right?
Jesuit. Yeah.
Got the one tie. Number one ranked in the Central Section, according to Max Preps. Number one in the state of California. and number 4 in the nation. I know there's a few other rankings, but I just went by Max Preps because it was really easy. First of all, thanks, guys, for coming. I really appreciate it.
Thank you for inviting us.
Thanks for
you guys. Yeah, you guys made it through the rain okay? No problems?
Yeah.
Did Coach drive you here?
No, we drove.
You guys drove? Like, you personally drove? Your parents didn't drive?
Yeah, I drove.
You drove?
Mm-hmm.
And you did okay?
Yeah.
All right, no problems.
No, I'm a good driver.
And no practice today, Coach?
No practice today.
You give them a day off?
We got 2 days off, coming off back-to-back Thursday, Friday. They earn 2 days off for sure.
Absolutely, and you can't do much in this week. When it rains, do you try to find some, find the gym or find some dry land somewhere?
Absolutely, yeah. Our fields don't drain very well, so we gotta fight to try to get in a gymnasium, maybe play some futsal or rent out. Maybe there's a HPA site where there's a warehouse that we could train in, so we'll rent out the facility.
Okay, sounds good. All right, so first of all, I want to ask you boys about your morning and what you do in the mornings. Obviously, you're able to sleep in a little bit. What do you guys have for breakfast, or what are your favorite breakfasts?
Like every day, I usually have like oatmeal. Like if I go to school, it's quick. I just make oatmeal, I get banana and peanut butter. And I have that pretty much every day.
You have that every day?
Yeah.
What about you?
Same for me. I just get oatmeal, put some protein powder in it, and peanut butter oatmeal. But if I have like more time, I'll just cook myself some eggs or something.
Really? All right. Yeah. So you got to make sure. So you don't skip breakfast.
No,
you gotta
never.
You got to make sure you got something.
I'm always hungry in the morning.
You guys are prime athletes. That's right. All right. So again, for all the listeners out there, yes, they are identical twins. All right, I got Brian next to me to my left, and then I got Brandon. One's number 18, one's number 16. Man, you guys came decked out too. You got are those practice uniforms or those your uniforms?
These are your actual uniforms. Yeah.
You got your windbreaker. You got your jacket on. You guys are looking good. All right. You guys had a couple tough games this week as well. Mm-hmm. So I'll talk to the boys right now. So 2-0 against Clovis West on Thursday, and then yesterday 1-0, where Brian, you got the only goal, right?
Yeah.
So, talk about the games, what worked, what not. Do you feel like you should have scored a little bit more in yesterday's game? So, Brian, we'll start with you. So, two tough games, like I mentioned, but, what worked well in those games?
Clovis West, I think it was just a good team effort. First half was a little, it wasn't that good from us, but in the second half we came in actually, wanting to win. And Javi, he came in and he got 2 goals, our attacking mid, and I think the whole team played good. And we just we defended well. They didn't score any goals on us. And then Clovis East, we started off well. We had a few good chances in the beginning. We missed a lot. We could have had at least 5 goals, I think. Maybe some PKs, but we don't know. It's the refs. But again, the team played good. We defended how we usually do. We usually defend pretty well, and we don't give up goals. And that's how we win games.
Well, yeah, I want to mention that for sure. Obviously, defense is a big part of soccer. And hey, if I did my research right off the top of my head, you've only given up more than 1 goal once this year, and that was a Buller game, right? All the other games are shutouts or 1 goal?
That is correct, yes.
Yeah, I did my research. I'm proud of myself.
Heck yeah, we gave up 4 that night.
And Brandon, are you playing? So, Brian, you're playing forward, right? What position exactly?
I play striker or attacking mid.
Okay, and you have 17 goals on the season?
Yes.
16 plus 1 from yesterday. Brandon, what position are you playing right now?
I play, defensive mid, but, the 6 or the 8. And so, I push up a little bit sometimes.
A little bit. Okay,
yeah.
So defense is huge in soccer, right? And you guys are playing great defense. So what was working good defensively in the games this week?
So for us, usually what works is because we have 2 midfielders, it's me and Miran. And usually, one of us sits, and that always works because, if I go out and he's always there in the middle to cover me, but, sometimes he comes out and, I'm there in the middle. So, and obviously we have, some of the – what 2 best center backs in the valley, which is Noel and Josh. It's really hard to get past them too. So, it's backup back there.
Yeah. Do you feel like you got each other's back? You guys communicate really well. How much talking goes on, or is it more just man, I know my teammates so well. I know I can fill in this spot, or I know I can help them out a little bit of this. Or are you guys constantly talking?
It depends. There's sometimes where there's not much communication, but either way, we know we're there for each other. Our job is to play off each other, so we know we have to be there. But, usually we have to be talking to each other to, know what to do, I guess, and play together well.
Absolutely. So, Brian, we mentioned the 17 goals this year. Brandon, when you watch your brother score goals, right, he's had some monster games this year. How much pride do you have? What are you yelling at? You're like, yeah, go.
I go crazy. Against Reedley, when he scored that free kick,
you can see me on film. I was screaming. I was like, yeah. Like, my hands were out. I was going crazy. Like, I couldn't believe it. I was actually, like, I think I got more excited than he did, to be honest.
Well, that's good, man. That's not only a good sign of, you know, you guys are good teammates, but you also love each other as brothers. So, Cam, I want to ask you, what do each of these kids bring to the program and also the field?
Yeah, I mean, both of them are extremely hard workers. Never had to, you know, coach them up on for effort. They show up every day and they lead by example every day. And when they're working that hard, it brings the standard to the rest of the team. And I think, like they've mentioned, collectively our group really works well together, and they work really hard. And we're you know, we got a good senior heavy group. We got 12 seniors this year that have been in the program, or for Brandon and Brian's case, they moved into our area last April, and since they've been here, they've worked their tails off.
And how important is that for you and for culture, right? So a lot of times when kids come and transfer in, there's a big transition process, right? It could be lots of things. Jealousy, right, could seep in, or they could, you know, just be not nice guys and come in a little huffy puffy at times. So how have these kids acclimated themselves, and how has the team welcomed them?
Sure. You know, when we met them last year, we were, you know, trying to get them to talk a little more because they were a little shy at first, a little quiet. But again, when they stepped on the field, they led by example by the way they played. They, you know, communicated well on the field. And as the guys got to know each other, their personalities just gel. I think, you know, every day I see these guys and on campus, there's a group of, you know, it's the same five guys, Salazar and Daniel and Brandon and Brian. And they're, you know, who knows what they're up to at lunch. So these guys are all over the place.
Yeah.
It's a good group. They got to know each other real quick.
And Brian, we talked about all your goals that you scored this year, but you had one pretty special game against Bullard. You scored 5 goals in that game.
Yeah.
Do you remember all 5? Can you picture all 5?
I know some of them.
All right. Explain it. Well, you know what? So 5 goals. Okay, awesome. That's great. But what has been your best goal, your most memorable goal this season? You mentioned the goal against Reedley, the PK, but what's like your most memorable goal?
It's definitely the one against Reedley, the free kick.
All right, tell me about it.
So I remember a week ago, I stayed with our assistant coaches. We were taking free kicks for like a whole hour, me and Brandon. We were there just practicing. And I remember we didn't go home until like we made like 5 of them. And like me and Brandon made it a competition to see who could score the most. And then we just basically took a lot of repetition. And then, this is like almost the same spot where I took it. So then I went up for it, and then it went in how we practiced it.
How far away was it?
I don't know, like 20-something yards?
Really?
I'd give it 25. It was a good 25.
Did you bend it? Where'd you put it?
Top right corner.
Top right. Is that one of your sweet spots?
Yeah.
Yeah?
Yeah.
All right. Cam, when you watch a player like Brian Lopez here, when you watch a kid score 5 goals in your mind, like, what goes through your head? Are you like, is it hard for you to differentiate between a coach or a fan? You're like, man, that's some good stuff out there. Or are you just all in? But what's it like for you on a coach on the sideline when you see a kid score 5?
For sure. I mean, for Brian, I haven't seen too many players score 5 in a game. That was only the second time I've ever been a part of something like that. But for Brian, like I said, his effort level is through the roof. So he is moving all over the field, and teammates are sharing the ball. And when he puts an individual performance in like that, you know, it's a mix of both, I guess. Sometimes I'm a fan and I'm cheering loud and I kind of go crazy with him. And you know, sometimes we get on, he could have scored maybe 7 or 8 if he would have finished all his chances. He's putting himself in really good positions. The team's sharing the ball really well. And, you know, some of those goals, just incredible. Tip your cap. So.
All right. So I read on your Twitter account. Okay. You know, my soccer knowledge is fairly limited. I'm getting better. So I read on your Twitter account that somebody had a brace, right? Okay, so I'm like, what the heck does brace mean? Like, he had reconstructive knee surgery and scored a goal with his brace. Like, what the heck does that mean? So, you know, I used the Google machine and said it's just simply score 2 goals, right? 2 goals, doesn't matter what order, but you got 2 goals. So I want to quiz you guys on what some of these mean. Yeah, I'm putting you guys on the spot a little bit. All right, so we all know that 3 is a hat trick. You think about hockey. You know, you got 3 goals. That's called a hat trick. All right, I'm gonna ask Brian first. Do you know what 4 goals is called?
No, but I'm gonna guess quadruple.
That's a good guess. Quad meaning 4. All right, good guess. Coach, do you know?
I have no idea.
Oh, good.
I'm going to go with quad. You're going to embarrass me.
I'm going to get you guys on all these. All right. So four is called a haul, H-A-U-L. You just score four goals in a game. That's called haul. All right. I'm just going to mention, since you guys are like, I have
Coach
no idea.
Spurgeon today. You should have had all these.
And this one tripped me out. Five goals in a game, which you had against Bullard, is called a glut. G-L-U-T.
Yeah, right. What there. A glut, mate.
Yeah. Never heard that.
All right. Well, there you go. Say you had a glut. Well, you guys are using the word brace.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah,
so now you got to go. You got to go all in.
I'm with it.
All right. So we got hat trick. Four is a haul. Five is a glut. Six, a double hat trick. Right. Makes sense. Yeah. Three plus three. Double hat trick. Mm-hmm. All right. And then a seven is a haul trick. So it's haul four trick? Plus the three. So there you go. Hey, I know something about soccer over you guys, man. Yeah. I'm going to walk out of here out of First String Sports feeling pretty proud of myself. All right, so now you can impress your friends. Now you guys can impress your friends and family about the different names. So you guys started it, though, by saying brace. Yeah. All right, so that had to do a little research. All right, there you go. So I want to talk about Brandon's defense coach. We're talking about Brian's scoring ability, but I want to hear from you about, you know, his defensive effort and you know, what he's done this season.
Yeah, Brandon necessarily hasn't got the stats in the box score, but if we were counting tackles, interceptions, passes completed, he'd probably be towards the top of the valley. He's kind of the engine in the midfield in between our defense and our forwards. He plays defensive mid, as he mentioned. So he's kind of been, if we were in hockey, he'd probably have a ton of double assists. He switches the point of attack for us a ton. He distributes the ball for us, and he, like I said, he intercepts a ton. So he wins the ball back and distributes it, gets the ball forward for us. He's been a huge staple for us in the midfield.
Have you boys felt that the level of competition, Brian, I'll ask you, the level of competition in the track, and then, you know, when you guys make playoffs and stuff, like, do you just love that competition? Like, easy games are easy games, right? You could score a lot of goals and stuff like that, but I know that the Bullard game actually ended up pretty tight, right? 7-4, 7-5, something like that. Yeah, but you know, those tight games when it's 1-0 and you know, any little mistake can cost your team. Like, how are you able to, you know, to thrive in those situations and put the pressure behind you?
Sometimes you have to stay focused. And it's just like real game situations. Our coaches put us in these situations where we know what to do when we're 1-0 up in the last 10 minutes. We know how to defend. We know how to attack. We know how to position ourselves. And I think we've all learned we've played soccer for a long time, so we kind of know how to control the pressure, and we should be able to. So I think that kind of just helps out. We stay calm, and we just get the win. We just fight it out.
And watching the World Cup, and we'll get into that a little bit, but, man, even for me, watching the World Cup, I would get so nervous when watching a team that's, you know, that it's a one-goal game, and the defense is just, like, playing keep away almost, just all calm and collected. Like, I don't know how they do it, man. You got whole nations, you know, that that are watching you and the pressure, and they're just, like, casually kicking it back and forth. Like, Brandon, on when you're playing defense, and again, when you know that, especially defensively, any little mistake can cost your team a goal, right? A missed kick here, or you get beat on a 50-50 ball here. So how are you mentally able to, like, you know, beat your guy to the spot and different things like that?
For me, I just think about, like, play it like it's my last game, I guess. I have to, like, give it my all, because if not, obviously, if they beat me, they could go down or next and just score there. But obviously, as a group, we all come together. Like, we all just stay focused. We all say, like, screaming at each other, stay focused, stay focused. Like, we ask the ref, how much time left? 10 minutes. Stay focused, 10 minutes. And our coach has, like, he puts us through situations, like, in games. He would ref it, and he would give the other team that we're playing against calls on purpose. Because us being, like, on the number one on max press and stuff, we know that everyone's coming for us. So, like, the rest have been giving us some bad calls lately, and we've been used to it because of our coaches. So
that's great. Talk with Brandon and Brian Lopez, Clovis North Soccer. So yeah, coach, that's awesome. So what makes this team, you know, click as a team when they're humming along, you know, when this team is really, really focused? What's the potential of these guys?
I think potential, the sky's the limit, of course, as cliche as that sounds, but the way these guys share the ball, we're a unified team. We kind of do everything together. We attack as a team. We defend as a team. And you really don't have to question or ask for effort from these guys, anybody on the team. And we're carrying a really big roster. And like they mentioned, a lot of the situations we go through at practice where, you know, we got 26 guys at practice and only 11 get to play in the game. And when you got, you know, maybe the depth chart 23 through 26 every day coming and busting their butt, not making any excuses, that's what's really impressive and special to me, because these guys are all working hard for each other. And we're going through the situationals at practice of being down 1-0. What could we do? How many minutes left? We got a red card. You know, I gave Brian a red as a ref. So, you know, we go through different situations and kind of try to put them in those situations. So when they arise in the game, we're ready to go.
And that would never happen, Brian. You'd never get a red card.
I don't think so.
No. Good answer. I want to ask you guys, we only got about 5 minutes. I told you to go by fast, right? Mm-hmm. When did you guys first start to love soccer? Like, can you remember your first memories of kicking a soccer ball? You're kicking around outside in the house, but when did you first fall in love with soccer?
Well, I know that when I took my first steps as a child, my dad, he drove to the store and he got a soccer ball and we started kicking right away. So then we had like a little goal in our backyard and we had like 20 balls and we would kick them all over to the other side. So we had to constantly buy balls. And then I remember just playing in like the recreational leagues. I would play with all my friends there and I would just have so much fun. And then eventually, I think I was like 10 years old, 11 years old. I started playing club soccer, like 9 years old, somewhere around there. And then eventually, I just started loving it more. And then I started practicing. And then once I started practicing on my I practiced with Brandon pretty much like every day. Like during quarantine, we would go every single day because we had nothing else to do. And then that's when I think we improved a lot. And that's how we got serious about it.
Brandon, how has your brother made you a better soccer player?
So obviously, since we're always practicing together, playing together, we kind of see it like friendly competition. Like we do like shooting, who could get the most goals? We do passing, who can mess up the least? And since we're both pretty good, I would say we're both technical. It's always pretty close. So, you know, we both always train to get better. We always want to get better, but you know, we play off like each other's energy, and like we're both very competitive. So like we get heated sometimes. Saying, oh, that doesn't count, this doesn't count. But, like, it's still making us better at the end of the day. And like he said, in quarantine, we started going every day, like, serious, every day, maybe sometimes twice a day. And since we're always together, like, it just makes it better, like a training buddy, I guess. And we never get bored because we're always together.
That's awesome. All right, so who are your favorite soccer players, though?
Messi, of course.
Of course. Yeah. Of course. All right, of course. How about your Brandon?
Neymar?
Yeah?
Yeah, he's the one that made me fall in love with soccer.
Okay. World Cup, you guys were riveted to the TVs or maybe watching on your phone.
Mm-hmm.
What was your favorite part? Obviously, Messi, right?
Yeah.
World Cup, that was your favorite part. Brandon, what did you like about the World Cup this year?
I mean, I like that. Well, I didn't like when Mexico got knocked out because I was going for Mexico. But, I mean, I like that Messi won the World Cup because he's like one of my top three. I know he deserved it, but I was hoping Neymar won it because he's my favorite player. But I just think, like, the whole World Cup was really good. It was really interesting. And I kind of got happy that France lost because they won it last time. So that was the main reason I was happy when Argentina won.
And I could say this on air. So I'm a teacher, right? And I teach fifth grade, and my kids wanted to watch the World Cup. And so I have the cord where I could put it up on my big screen from my computer. So I held it over my students. I'm like, all right, if you guys do good on this test or you guys do on this assignment, I'll throw the game up there, whatever game is on, because I think they were like at 9 o'clock or 11 o'clock different times in the morning, right? You guys were able to watch the World Cup during school?
Yeah, sometimes.
Yeah? How were you able to do that?
Sometimes a teacher would put it up on the board, and I remember one time we went during lunch. We went to one of the teacher's rooms. Like, our whole soccer team was in there just watching it.
It was the U.S. versus Iran.
Yeah. Yeah, and then if we couldn't watch it, I could watch it on my phone sometimes.
During class?
Yeah.
Teachers were okay with that?
I don't know.
They didn't know, huh?
Yeah.
just put it on, just kind of put it down a little bit. Yeah. I know all the tricks.
I would do my work first, but I would watch it.
Hey, you know what? Some teachers, they know what's going on. Some teachers don't. You just got to figure out which ones do and which ones don't, right? Mm-hmm. I'm sure most teachers would have been okay with it. To be honest. All right, Cam, I want to ask you about, you know, the playoff system. Is it, just remind me, is it 12 teams for D1? Is it 16? And state playoffs, what's that look like this year?
Yeah, D1 for the section is 12. 12, okay. And the rest of the divisions, I think they announced that's either 12 through 16, whatever kind of fits. So, yeah, D1's 12.
So state playoffs, it'll just be regionals. There's still not a true state, NorCal versus SoCal, right?
Right. So we would be in the NorCal regional if we qualified through our section. And there's in the D1 regional, there's eight teams that qualify. So the champion of our section and the finalist would also qualify.
Okay. Last question here, guys. So, Brandon, I'll ask you first. What do you love about Clovis North soccer, and what has Clovis North soccer taught you so far?
Okay, so when I came in, it was, well, last year, 2022, we came in. Right away, we knew no one. We knew no one. But, like, somehow we just felt comfortable. There's something about it. I don't know. We came in, and now, like, everyone's, like, it's like a family. Like, I love it that we're all so close. Like, I don't know how. Like, it seems weird to me that, like, in 1 year, I've made some of my best friends there. Like, it's crazy. And I just love that so much. And that when we go on the field, it just shows that we all love each other so much. And obviously the coaches, we all love each other very much. I love that we get to, like, mess around outside of the field, but, like, you know, also get business done, too.
Absolutely. And, Brian, same question. What do you love about Clovis North soccer?
I love how close we all are, obviously. And obviously, the facilities are nice, super nice. I love them. And then all the gear we get, all that, you know, that's like, obviously all the athletes are looking forward to that. But, like, I like the competition. I like being, like, in a better league. I like playing better teams. And I think I also like having a lot of friends. And it's a bigger school, so I get more people to meet. But, like, during lunch, how our coach mentioned, it's always me and the group of five guys. We literally just do anything. Like,
we're
just
a group of five.
Yeah, it's literally a group of five. Yeah. We literally do anything. We're always together, no matter what. Even, like, after a game, we all went to go eat. And we just basically, like, and we're the only ones that could drive, so we have to drive them everywhere. Sometimes they just get in our car.
They take on the younger guys.
Yeah. Sometimes they just get in our car and don't even ask.
Yeah.
And they don't get out until we take them.
Guys in the back seat, like, when did you get here?
Yeah. and then they don't leave until we take them to their house. So we have to take them. So, but yeah, it's like we're all very connected.
It's like a family, right? Yeah. Mm-hmm. So, Cam, last question for you. Clovis North, you know how tough it is to win a Central Section Championship, right? I mean, it is an absolute grind. What will this team need to do to win a Central Section Championship?
Sure, yeah. This is my sixth year. We haven't won one. So it's been we've been close, and I think that this group has what it takes to get it done, as some of the teams in the previous years have. And it's just really sticking together, working hard, and as you mentioned earlier in the show, handling the pressure. And I think having the target on our back day in, day out is kind of preparing us for the playoffs, because every game we've played, especially the teams that know us, like you mentioned, the two track teams, they feel like playoff games because these guys know us, they're prepared, they're man-marking Brian, and they're trying different things to really knock us off. So, handling the pressure and continuing to work hard.
All right. Well, that was a lot of fun, boys, to talk to you guys and get to know you guys better. And Coach Cam, you know, talks the world of you. And really quick, actually, I do have one last one. Mm-hmm. College. You guys planning a college? Any colleges looking at you?
There are a few, but it's just like few contact. We know there's nothing really sure. But I know I for sure want to go play college soccer in the highest level and then hopefully make it a pro if I can.
That was Brian. Brandon, what about you? College for sure, right?
Yeah, for sure college. It's always been like my goal. Always want to go college, obviously, highest level I can. But if I can.
All right. Well, good luck the rest of the way. This was a lot of fun, and thanks for coming in.
Thank you.
Thanks for having us on, Paul.
You bet. All right. Good guys here. Brian Brandon, Lopez, Clovis North, Cam Shiroki, number one team in the section, state number four in the nation. Thanks to those guys for coming on. Coming up after the break, Coach Brad Robznowski of San Joaquin Memorial Boys Basketball on 1430 ESPN. 21 Pilot Saturday. This is the Central Valley Sports Report, 1430 ESPN. I'm your host, Paul Metters. Hey, you know what? We're all about the kids here, 1430 ESPN. We love to shine a light on the kids in the Central Section. And I hope you guys are able to listen to the interview that I just had with Brandon and Brian Lopez, Clovis North Soccer, and their coach Cam Shiroki was here as well. Man, those are the kids you can't help but root for, right? They transferred in from Fowler, one of the higher competition. They said it was a full family move. We're able to play right from the beginning. But, man, the way they talked about the program at Clovis North, the family that they felt, they came in not knowing anybody. and just were embraced, and they were embraced. And so, I mean, it was, I mean, yeah, that's to me what high school is about, is the camaraderie, is, you know, hanging out with your guys during lunchtime, watching the World Cup, taking guys home after practice, all that great stuff. So I hope you guys were able to listen to that, to that interview. Bringing in Coach Brad Rosnowski of San Joaquin Memorial Boys basketball coach. This, you know, we've talked a few times on my show, but it's always been through a phone call. So you're able to come in live, man. I'm able to talk to you face to face. This is something special for me.
Yeah, the phone interviews are great, and sometimes we have to do them. But coming here, Paul, seeing you, and I always enjoy our conversation with you, whether it's on the air or off the air. Very knowledgeable.
Well, and I think I've told this story publicly before, but, you know, when I worked at the Clovis Roundup, I was writing about Clovis teams, and I would go to the Clovis West basketball tournament where you guys competed, you know, watching Jalen Green, that's can't-miss basketball, and we'd be hanging out at the food, and you came up to me and says, hey, I enjoy reading your stuff. And I'm like, wait, I write about Clovis schools. Hold on, you're not supposed to say those kind things about me. So I really appreciated that, and you've been very nice ever since.
Yeah, no, I've enjoyed your stuff, and now you've expanded, and just great to see you. And I mentioned to Gabe the other day, I don't know how you guys do it, juggle your family, and but you guys are everywhere, whether it's watching a game, you're on the air. So I know our kids and everybody around here appreciates you guys, Paul.
Thank you. We appreciate you too. All right, so I obviously you're a big basketball guy, and I know you're a big baseball guy. You play baseball in college, but are you a football guy, like college, NFL? Are you really invested in that stuff, or are you mainly baseball, basketball?
I really do. I think it's funny, playing college baseball, it's probably the one sport I watch the least. Whether it's college baseball or MLB, I'm really a college NFL football guy, and not as much an NBA guy. Now that Jalen's involved, watch him, but I'm really a college basketball guy too. So, but I'll probably might go out to Edison, watch some games today, but if not, I'll be on the couch watching some football and flipping some college basketball on.
Well, you need a break every once in a while too. So I'm going to encourage you to kick back on your couch and watch some games. So
I might take you up on that.
Who's your are you a Fresno State guy? Are you and who's your NFL team?
Yeah, the Fresno State. I might even jump over there and see them play. I've only seen them play once this year, so might go see them today against Air Force. Who's always a really good team to watch. Air Force always real
fundamental.
And,
fundamental.
Yeah. Big Pittsburgh Steeler fan.
Really?
So yeah, big. I'm a little down right now. We almost got in. We had to get some help. We didn't get the help. So, but I'm optimistic about them. I grew up in the 70s as a kid, so I was a front runner watching Franco, Bradshaw, Lynn Swann, Stallworth. So, you know, sat in front of the TV, and I wanted to follow a winner. So I've always been a diehard, try to go to a game a year. And so, but I'm optimistic about the next year. I like their quarterback. They got a lot of good weapons returning, so we'll see about next year.
Well, yeah, I think the future is pretty bright. Najee Harris, a Sacramento guy, he's fun to watch. And, well, you didn't mention Mean Joe Green. You can't forget that famous commercial.
Yes.
Right, that we grew up on.
Yep,
right.
We
what did.
Did
he say? Here's a uniform kid. What did he say to the kid when he throws him the uniform?
He threw him a Coca-Cola, too, or something.
Yeah.
Or, yeah.
A Coke and a smile or something like that. Yeah. So Mean Joe Green, yeah, I remember those teams. I'm a Dallas Cowboy fan. So, yeah, so I remember – you know, the Roger Staubachs and the Danny Whites and the Tony Dorsett.
Yeah,
and those guys
had
too,
some good games there.
Absolutely. All right, so this week was kind of a big week, let's be honest, with your basketball team. You guys lost to Clovis North by 19. You know, readily admit you guys didn't play super well at the Classic at Damien, but you guys had a good week of basketball. You beat Edison, and then saw you beat Sanger last night as well. So how did the team – you know, respond to some of those losses and what worked this week for you guys?
Yeah, it's funny you say how the team respond, but really we lost 5 of 6 going back to the HIT final against Edison. Then we lost 3 of 4 Damien, then we lost North. So we lost 5 of 6. And, you know, Paul, I had to take a look and I had to respond and my staff had to respond. And we made some changes in practice without getting deep into it. We made it's more or less an accountability practice. First time I've ever done it. I feel like it's working, holding kids accountable more in practice for mistakes. And coaching this long, hearing the, you know, quote unquote, you're going to practice like you're going to play like you practice. And I had to make the adjustment. And you know, for the kids to make it, I had to make it first. So made some adjustments, played a little better. Didn't have great first halves against Edison or Sanger, but really, really played well in the second half in both games. So, got a big one Monday down at De La Salle. Play a really tough and good Moreau Catholic team who always well coached by Frank Knight, been there forever. So those are the kind of games we need too during league. So we play. We'll go down and play Monterey Trail, who's really good too, early in February. So we got a couple. We got eight more league games, a couple tough non-league to mix in to help us prepare for playoffs.
And you mentioned how you had to make some changes as a coaching staff, and the kids responded really, really well. You know, coaching's kind of like a puzzle. Sometimes you got to put certain pieces in a certain spot. How were you able to do that? And obviously it's a process, right? I mean, you can even make changes going up all the way through playoffs, right? You just never know as a coach. Different teams have different personalities and different puzzle pieces fit. But how are you able to do that as a coach? You get together with your staff. You got to, like, break things down. You're like, guys, we got to try this or we're going to lose this team.
Yeah, it's like I said, it starts in practice. Like, my staff and I talk 15 minutes early before practice and get a plan together. And this is tough. A lot of people have mentioned our struggles were because getting Julius Olenraju fitted in, but that really wasn't the issue. It's tough because we have seven freshmen and sophomores who all play. And then you got Amari and Mike are our seniors. That's nine. And Dre Davis is playing a lot. That's 10. And I mean, I'm not even mentioned guys like Ty Scarry, Brandon Salisbury, who do a great job for us too. So that's our toughest problem right now, Paul, is trying to figure out, our rotations and stuff. That's the thing. I mean, we're sitting in the locker room last night after a 27-point win against a good Sanger team and wondering, God, we should have got that guy. And, well, we should have done this. And, you know, we're never satisfied, never happy. But I feel like that's our biggest issue right now, trying to find the right combinations. Not everybody's going to be happy. You can only play five. I can't go to the CIF and say, hey, can we play 7-on-7? It's not going to happen. So I think that's our biggest thing right now. But you know what? The competition and practice. We very rarely go top 6 or 7 against the next 6 or 7. It's mixed up 5 and 5, and it makes for really good competition. I think that's going to kind of differentiate our kids from each other.
Yeah, and, you know, I have to remind myself sometimes too, high school basketball games go by quick. They're only 8-minute quarters. Mm-hmm. Sometimes, you know, I'll be in the flow of the game, and, you know, I watch pro basketball, 12-minute quarters, and college, obviously, 20-minute halves. And, you know, I'll be calling the game, and all of a sudden I look up, and there's like 1:47 left in the quarter. I'm like, man, that absolutely flew by. So 8-minute quarters, people don't realize that, right? Sometimes you see, you know, this team only scored 52 points. Well, remember, it was only 32 minutes in a game, right?
It's funny you say that because we usually try to get our first rotation in about three and a half minutes in. I look at the clock last night. It's 2.5 minutes to go in the first quarter, and we hadn't done that yet. And I rely on my assistant, Alex Hansen, one of my assistants, to do our subbing. We talk about it, but, yeah, it goes by so quick, so quick. And, you know, guys want to play.
Yeah.
You know, it's tough taking Mike and Amari off the court, you know, because they're playing at a high level. So we're trying to just do our best. We got young guys on the roster, and we feel like my goal has always been if you got freshmen, they got to play. So Sajan and Parker are two really good freshmen that this section is going to see how good they are. So we feel like we they're up there for a reason. So that's our biggest, I don't want to say concern, but that's something we're trying to deal with right now.
How dangerous can this team be when they're clicking on all cylinders?
Yeah, I'm getting caught up in the rankings, and I'm trying not to do that. Obviously, we lost 5 of 6. It really put us back. I don't know. I think Max Press had a 7 or 8 or something. I think we'll move up as time goes. But, you know, Alex Hansen, my assistant, just said, you know, don't let's not worry about the rankings.
Yeah.
Let's just, you know, I don't think we're going to get in that top four because of some losses, which means we won't get a bye. So to answer your question, Paul, I had somebody tell me that's close to the area that, you know, we're going to be a tough out in the playoffs. And I think we will, whether we're a 5-6, whatever we are, I think we'll be tough. So, yeah, I think we continue playing well, and it'll be tough. We'll be tough out.
No, absolutely. I absolutely agree. Talking with Coach Ross, San Joaquin Memorial Boys basketball coach. All right, so I'm sure wherever you go, and here I go again, you talk about Jalen Green and Joseph Hunter. You were privileged to watch those guys the last 8 years, and, you know, when you need a bucket, you got a bucket. But I want to ask about Jalen because he was – must-see basketball. Mm-hmm. You know, he played in Sacramento this week, so I was able to watch the first game. I didn't watch, I think it was last night, right? They played. And, you know, I so And sometimes it's funny because I'm watching a game and I'll try to call any one of my family members that's close to come watch this. I'll say, man, look at this play that so-and-so did. Come back. And I'll rewind it. I'll make them watch it. And then they'll go back and do their thing. But were there moments for Jalen especially that you were just like, oh, my gosh, that was an incredible move where maybe the crowd, you know, gasped. And, you know, I say must-see basketball because Jalen Green's coming into town. I know you guys went on the road a lot those years and we're on ESPN a few times. But is there one specific moment you can remember with him? We're like, oh, wow, that was pretty awesome.
Yeah, and there's so many dunks. But there's a time I'll never forget this. And my staff and I, we talk about it all the time. We were playing at – we were a 5 seed in the Open, Jalen's sophomore year, Open NorCal. And we had to go to Sheldon. Really tough place to play, well-coached team. And first play we ran was called Stanford. It's a stagger screen for Jay, and he comes off it. He can curl it. He can hit a three, shoot a three, or he just has to read it. It's a double screen. Ran it, got an open, got a not really open, but hit a tough three. And we said, let's run it again because there's slip opportunities.
Yeah.
Hit another three. The third time, they doubled him. He caught it. They doubled him. And then he stepped back and hit. I mean, it was a 30-footer. So it's 9, Paul, it's 9-0. And I just – and the crowd is going in. You know, it's pro-Sheldon crowd.
Yeah.
But they're just in awe. And they're, Joey Rawlings, their head coach, looked at me and was like,
yeah,
like this and didn't know what else to do. And I just kind of smirked. I mean, we're in the middle of an open NorCal game. But he looked at me with his hands up and did not know what to do. I'll never forget that. I mean, obviously the dunks are – but – it was just a 9-0 run in about a minute and a half. We ended up losing in double overtime, but that was something that always reigns in my head. And I feel terrible because I text him and I said, Jalen, I can't come see you. Wednesday, you know, Sacramento's so close and,
yeah,
you know, playing. Our league games are Wednesday, Friday. And he said, I know you got games, so it was tough. I know he played pretty well last night, you know, so I'm going to try to get out and see. I know he comes to L.A. again, try to get out and see him. So.
Well, he was probably more frustrated. He's like, that's not in our scouting report. Come on, man. What are you running?
I think all three times they tried something different on it, and it didn't work. That's just the beauty of that kid.
Yeah.
I mean, the stuff he did is a big reason why he's performing at a high level right now.
He's averaging a little over 21 points a game for the Houston Rockets. And when you got high-caliber players, that you're able to watch, and you think about all the sports, right? You think about Kendall Milton, who just won a mm-hmm. national championship. Right, watching him play football. You think about Adrian Martinez, who's playing in the Hula Bowl, 9 o'clock, and we're hoping that he's going to impress at the NFL Combine. You got these high level dudes, tons of baseball players, right? Guys that have been drafted. When you're able to watch those kids in high school, how neat is it? And Josh Allen, right? How neat is it for you as a fan of Central Valley Sports just to watch some of these guys do great things at the next level?
I think it's great. Not only ones that I've coached, but seeing these guys in the NFL, the MLB. I mean, Fresno State's had a great history of sending them guys to the next level. I just feel like we're so underrated here, Paul. And you've been around, you've coached, the Bay. You have the Bay Area, you have SoCal, and we're kind of in this little hub here, And I just don't think we get enough notoriety. I mean, look at Paul George, Aaron Judge, and Josh Allen, Derek Carr. All these guys doing great things, and. Oh, people say, oh, my God, they're all from Fresno. Yeah. I hear that a lot. It's crazy, but I think it's really cool.
You can throw Bryson DeChambeau as well.
Oh,
I mean,
gosh.
Talk about tons
Absolutely.
Of guys. Yeah, I'm trying to point to a time when, how far are you going to go back? Like Tom Seaver, right, from Fresno. A lot of people forget that Tom Seaver was from Fresno, right, raised in Fresno. Look at his history. It's incredible. Family was worked in the grapes and stuff. Mm-hmm. So. When do you think the Central Valley, like people around the nation, really took notice? Like when Jalen showed up, right? ESPN games. You remember LeBron James when his high school games were on ESPN. Think about Caleb Kelly was a 5-star guy. I mean, pretty recent, but Lopez twins mm-hmm. from San Joaquin Memorial, obviously, with Brooke winning an NBA title. But can you pinpoint maybe a time when the nation or even California like really respected us? Like, oh yeah, that guy's from Fresno. Off the top of your head?
I can't really. It's so funny you bring that up because I was on social media about a couple hours ago, and I was reading about Jalen, and somebody tweeted, I didn't even know he was from Fresno, and someone subtweeted or whatever you call that, said his mom's from Fresno and dad's from Merced. So yeah. There's people out there that – it was some Sacramento Twitter going on about the Kings and the Rockets game. And
yeah.
I don't even think people realize he's from here. So to answer your question, I can't pinpoint a time. I do think it's coming, though. I do think people are, especially with the Judge and playing at Fresno State, and not really from Fresno, but played at Fresno State. What, did he play 2 years at Fresno State?
I think three.
So I think, and obviously Derek Carr. So I think it's getting out there, resonating out there.
No, I agree.
Kendall Milton winning two national championships.
I know, and then he gave that shout out on their news station to Clovis, and he said, "No, I hope to give kids in Clovis and in the Fresno area a hope, right? To see that if you work hard, that you can be on this
great
stage."
Thing.
Yeah, I love that stuff. I want to talk about your gym, right? And I think it wasn't until I got into I remember watching Brooke and Robin play, but at different venues at Cellon Arena. But I think when I first started to cover sports for the Clovis Roundup, when I went to your gym, that was the first time that I had been in your gym. I had heard about it. You know, what's the best way, in your opinion, to describe what it looks like? So I know there's bleachers only on one side. I know you and your staff and your players are kind of against a wall a little bit. But what's the best way to describe your gym?
Well, lately we've been putting the bleachers out behind our benches.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
Yeah, depending on who we're playing and stuff. And I think during league we'll do that most of the time. So there are bleachers there. But it's just, you know, it's funny because my AD came to me. We had some leaks in our roof over this week. And he said, "Hey, we may have to move the Edison game to St. Anthony's, which is one of our feeders." Mm-hmm. They have a beautiful gym. I've never been in that gym. It's beautiful, the event center. And I said, "No." I said, "We'll move the game to the weekend, or I'm not giving up a home game here." We haven't, you know, the last time we lost there was the Open Championship against St. Joseph's 3 years ago. Before that, it's a while. We've only lost there once in like 5 years.
Really? Okay.
So it's just a special place. There's so much history there. You know, I love coaching there. Our kids love playing there. We usually play pretty well there. So I think just the history. You got Brooke, Robin, Quincy's, you know, jerseys up there. You got Quincy's family's jerseys up there. It's just so much history in that gym. If it ever happens, Paul, I don't know if it will, but if it ever happens, you know, taking that down, or it'll be a sad day at that school.
Can't take it down.
No, you can't take it down. We'll use it as a secondary gym.
Yeah.
You know,
I talk a little bit about my Emmanuel days and basketball days, and we had the old gym. It's still called the old gym, right? It was an old airplane hangar, and the home court advantage in that gym was unbelievable. Yeah. It was one of those – it was like Hoosiers.
Yeah.
Right, where above us, above the bench, there was a balcony, and you'd have these old Mennonite guys that would just lean their arms, you know, looking down at the bench, and then you had the student section to one side. And when they built a new gym, they just put a door there that connected both gyms,
yeah,
right? So you could just easily go to the new gym and the old gym. So, yeah, I mean, that gym's iconic, right? There's no way you could touch that gym, in my opinion. But has there ever been talk of, you know, is there even room on campus somewhere to build
well,
a gym?
Well, the one thing, I'm
never.
Not sure a lot of people know this. You know, we are going to remodel a locker room for our home, for our girls and us. That's going to happen here real quick. But Memorial is turning – our feeder, there's going to be junior high on that campus starting in August, where our feeder schools, 7th and 8th grades, are now going to be on campus. So the things they're doing on that campus right now, Paul, are improving – some facilities. They've added some parking for that part of the campus, and that's going to be on the south side of the campus. So we are going to have upwards to about 200 to 210 more kids on our campus starting. So anything they're doing right now, Paul, was really related to our new junior high feeder system.
Wow. Okay. So St. Anthony's, are they considered, you know, your not your sister school, but your feeder school right there? That
yes.
Buller and Moroa.
So they will now be a K through 6. You can't stay at Sandy. So if you don't want to go to Memorial as a 7th and 8th grader, you have to go somewhere else. So, so we're going to have more kids on our campus. It's interesting how the dynamics are going to work out, but I know the school's really excited to have those kids on campus.
No, yeah, absolutely. Yeah, an expansion is always good, right? Can
yes.
be scary, and lots of planning and lots of money and lots of meetings.
Yeah.
And usually the budget's doubled and all that stuff, right? We know those things. But, yeah, that's good to know. So San Joaquin Memorial looking to expand. All right, junior high on campus. All right, Brad, always great to talk to you. Got to wrap things up. But looking forward to basketball, you know, with playoffs and all that stuff, I really wish you luck. What, you know, does this team have? You talk about the puzzle pieces. But with this team and the playoff system the way it is, I mean, what are you most looking forward to, and where do you think the team's going to be at come playoff time?
Yeah, I'm looking forward to keep competing in the CMAC. hopefully win another CMAC title. He won 41 games in a row. So I think Paul just executing and you know, working on holding these kids accountable and getting them to a level. It's a long – you hear a long season. We weren't very good a while back, but now I think we're making strides where we're going to be excited for the playoffs.
All right. Can't wait. Always love talking to you, running into you. Enjoy your weekend, man. Try to get some rest and relaxation.
And likewise to you. Likewise to you, Paul. Thank you very much.
You bet. All right, Coach Roz, go back and listen to any episode of the Central Valley Sports Report and all other shows on 1430 ESPN. When we come back, we'll wrap everything up on 1430 ESPN.